With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Ovi and Backe haven't fared well in game sevens in the past. They've lost seven of them. But tonight could be different. Join us right now to talk about it on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Neil Greenberg. Writes the Fancy Stats blog in the Washington Post. Of course, co-hosts Crashing the Net with Tom Daly, which you can listen to right here on 106.7 The Fan. What's up, Neil?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hello, Neil.
You know, okay.
Before we talk about the specifics of tonight's game, I think EB and I need to be coached up on the, and you might have to correct me on the name of it. Is it the heat map for the high danger chances?
I can't make sense of that thing.
When you tweet that,
yeah,
and I look at it, my brain freezes over like it's in Antarctica.
It looks the same.
I don't know what to make of it.
It looks the same to me.
Can you give us the dummies 101 perspective on the heat map that you tend to tweet out? How can we read it?
Sure. So when you're looking at the darker the color, the more shots from that area. So if it's yellow, there aren't many shots. If it's like a deep red or a deep blue, that is a concentration of shots. And it just shows you where those shots are occurring, because not all shots are being equal. So when you see shots that are really concentrated in the high danger area, which is the slot and the crease, those tend to become goals more often than, let's say, shots from the blue line or the top of the face-off circles. So it's if you've ever seen like a weather map, it's the same type of thing, right? When you're looking at the rain, the deep red is usually the bad part, meaning there's a lot of rain coming, and then the colors as they get lighter is less dangerous.
I know, but they look the same.
Yeah, but you know what? Now that he explains it, it does make more sense, because you tweeted it out May 21st at N. Greenberg. And the heat map on the Lightning end, I mean, it looks like there's a tornado about to break out on that end. And the Caps end, I mean, there's nothing. There's like one little blob.
Right.
It kind of makes sense.
Okay, but that's different than the heat map I showed you yesterday, or the one on the site, where it was like the 5-on-5, I think, maybe.
Okay, this is, I believe, a power play.
Right. How is the 5-on-5 play, Ben? Because I've been led to believe that we've kind of dominated that.
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, the Capitals have carried play there. I think it was in game five when John Cooper had the Callahan line up against Ovechkin line. It wasn't as tilted as perhaps it should be. But for the first two games, for sure, during that last game, game six, they did. By and large, Tampa Bay is really getting most of their damage done on the power play. They haven't really had much even strength success.
So I kind of want them to continue to swallow the whistle then, right? I mean, even if we're on the wrong side of it.
Yeah, that certainly is playing to Washington's advantage, because, you know, we've seen it, right? The Tampa Bay power play is very, very difficult to stop. They have a lot of weapons. The smartest thing is always not to take penalties, but especially in this case, I think Washington has found a formula. Now, that's going to change a little bit going into Tampa with Cooper having last change. Trotz won't be able to get the matchups that he wants, but he's going to have to make adjustments. He's going to have to figure out a way to get Ovechkin skating away from that Callahan line, and also make sure he gets Niskanen and Orlov pairing up against the Stamkos line as much as possible.
Now, you mentioned Ovi in your article in the Washington Post. You talked about Ovi's total points per minute is the highest since 2010. Talk about what you've seen from the captain throughout the playoffs.
He's been hashtag good, right? I mean, he's playing at another level. We've seen him bring his game up to new heights before, And he's always been a dependable playoff performer. There's a narrative that says that he kind of becomes a wilting violet in the playoffs. I don't think that that's true. But this season in particular, I mean, he's scoring, he's creating chances, he's playing defense, he's back-checking, he's blocking shots. He's really having probably his best offensive game, but I would even say he's probably having one of his best all-around efforts in the postseason, especially in this series. He's not just contributing on the power play. As a matter of fact, they're doing a lot to take him out of the power play, Tampa Bay's penalty kill, but it hasn't stopped him from creating chances. And I think if you look at how he's creating his chances, typically Ovechkin is a wing player, right? So you see a lot of his shot attempts over by the faceoff dots, but especially during the first two games, especially, he was working hard in the crease and in the slot to create chances, and that was really a recipe for success. So hopefully he continues to do that in tonight's game.
How often is that like toe drag move thing he does? How often does that work for him? It seems like every time he does it, it's fancy, but it doesn't really work.
Yeah, it hasn't worked in some time, and that was one of the reasons why Adam Oates moved him on the other side, the other wing, in an effort to give it a different look. But, you know, he's best, in my opinion, Ovechkin's best getting that one-timer, obviously, on the power play. But he seemed to have found some success being in the slot, being in the crease, being close to the goaltender, using his skills to when there's traffic in front of the net. And then I even think you look at he was doing that like slap pass type thing, almost as a bluff, I think, to get Vasilevskiy moving, maybe in his mind a little bit, thinking that, is this going to be a pass? Is this going to be a shot? And set him up later. But, yeah, that toe drag move has been hit and miss for quite some time.
You know, Devontae Smith-Pelly, I've got a full-on man crush on that dude. he pots one yesterday. He's a guy that doesn't score a lot during the regular season, but he cranks it up during the postseason. He's only 25 years old. Why was he so readily available for McClellan to sign before the season?
That's a good question. I really don't know. You know, a lot of times these fourth-line, third-line players get pigeonholed a little bit, and they appear to be interchangeable. So if they're perhaps maybe getting too expensive, or there's a threat of them getting too expensive, they're moved on for someone else. But, you know, like you said, I mean, he's been a linchpin of this playoff success, and he may not show up on the score sheet all that much, but he still does a lot of things that help you win playoff games. And it's funny because whenever these third, fourth line guys have just a little bit success in the playoffs, they tend to become fan favorites and media darlings, and Devontae Smith-Pelly has certainly fit that mold. And you know, he provides a little bit of everything: scoring, defense, special teams play. I mean, he's a really solid player that Barry Trotz trusts up and down the lineup. And like you said, I mean, he's been him, and I would say Michael Kempney have been two of the better acquisitions for Brian McClellan during his short tenure as GM.
Joined by Neil Greenberg, writes for the Washington Post, the Fancy Stats blog. You can listen to him here on 106.7 The Fan, the only hockey show in the D.C. area, with Tom Daly crashing the net. So reading your article in the Washington Post, you had some sort of a win threshold regarding the goalies. It was a little confusing to me. I'm a simpleton. Can you try and explain it to our listeners, like what Holtby needs to do to get the win versus Vasilevskiy?
Yeah, so it essentially looks at how easy it is for a goaltender to get a win, and it looks at the goal support that they get and the defense that's in front of them in terms of how much shots against they allow. So right now, Holtby save percentage to get a chance at a win is really low. I mean, it was 869, which is well below average. The average save percentage is 914. So basically, if he stops, you know, 8 to 9 out of 10 shots he sees, the Capitals have a pretty good chance at a win because they're also scoring goals. But Vasilevskiy is not in the same boat. He's got to stop over 9 out of 10 shots to get that same. Effect, because Tampa Bay, like we spoke about earlier, isn't scoring a lot in the playoffs, and they're certainly not scoring a lot at even strength. So it's just a numerical way to figure out what's the workload for the goalie have to be in order to give his team a chance at a win. And right now, the takeaway is that Washington is making it much easier for Holtby to get the win than Tampa Bay is for Vasilevskiy.
And you also note in the article, this is actually the most prolific Capitals team in the playoffs in terms of scoring. They're scoring 3.4 goals per game. You would think some of those high-scoring teams of the past, but this one's actually blowing it away.
Yeah, and the 2009-2010 team, that fun and gun team that just seemed to score at will, I was actually surprised it was higher than that. Only because that team was so good at scoring. And, you know, like you said earlier, they're getting production from guys like Devontae Smith-Pelly, right? Lars Eller played really well on the second line in Nicholas Backstrom's absence. Alex Ovechkin's obviously scoring. Kuznetsov's having a fantastic postseason. So this is really the crux of the article was that everything's coming together for Washington at the same time. We've seen their goaltending be really good and their offense kind of go south. We've seen their offense provide some fireworks and then the defense be a lot less than desired. But this postseason run really does seem like they're getting everything together. Now, you need that if you're going to get this far in the playoffs, obviously. But for this Washington Capitals team that's had so much struggles in the past, it's notable that for once everything is working and they have a chance to get to somewhere they haven't been in 20 years.
Neil, is there any chance we see some sort of role reversal with Tampa Bay tonight as far as the hits? Is there a way that they come out and hit the Caps 40 times, you know, and out-hit us by 20? Or is that just not the way that they're designed? They're not designed to play that way.
I don't think they're designed to play that way outside of maybe like a Dan Girardi type. I also think, and I'd have to really go back and look, but the home team, any home team, usually gets their hits inflated a little bit. So I don't know if it was exactly that much of a disparity, but I tell you what, Ovechkin was on a seek-and-destroy mission. Brooks Orpik was hitting everything that moves. Tom Wilson was. That's just not Tampa Bay's game. They're much more of a finesse-type game. I don't really see them getting super physical, as I said, maybe outside of Dan Girardi, Ryan Callahan. I think that I don't see that being any sort of issue for Washington in this game.
Talk me off the ledge here, because I keep equating it to like a golfer that goes out and shoots 61 on Saturday. You just know they're not going to shoot that same round the next day. I to me, that was like I say, it was a perfect Caps performance, but it was everything as a fan I wanted to see, right? Overtly, you could see everything, the effort, the hitting, the shots, the great goaltending. And I just worry that they're not going to be able to play at that level again the very next game. Talk me off that ledge.
Well, Washington's been a really good road team this playoff series, and they certainly have the depth, the defense, and the goaltending to pull off a road win. It's going to come down to any game. You can't take stupid penalties. You can't make, you know, laughable defensive mistakes that cause something terrible to happen. But this Washington team is solid. This Washington team has played well. This Washington team has done everything that it needed to do to get this far. And I really don't think there's any reason to doubt them in Game 7. If you want to give Tampa Bay the edge because there's home ice advantage and last change, I understand that. But I think this is a relatively even match team, and I think you can even give a slight edge to Washington based on the even strength play. So I think that there's really – I know Cats fans are going to be worried, and any fan base will be worried going into a Game 7, but I don't think that the Capitals are outclassed. I don't think they're outmatched. I don't think they're outgunned. I just think they have to play a good, solid game, and I think even a good, solid game – is enough to eke out a win. So I wouldn't have as much trepidation as perhaps I would in years past.
What I should know this off the top of my head. What are home teams in this series?
I don't know. They're not good. They're not good in the playoffs.
One and two each.
Yeah, but even I don't put a lot of stock into that because small sample size. You know, Tampa Bay never lost at Cap One Arena until they did. So we're playing. This is a game that has a thin margin of error, right? Because they're two very good teams, and it could come down to something as fluky as a power play goal or something along those lines. But I honestly believe that Washington has a good chance to win this game, and they should not be, as I said, outclassed in any way. It should be a solid effort on both sides.
Neil, in the words of James Hetfield from Metallica, nothing else matters.
That's certainly true.
It's game
big
seven
night.
My friend, it is a big night. Neil, thanks as always for joining us. Neil Greenberg from the the Washington Post and co-host of Crashing the Net right here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Enjoy the game.
Yep, all right, we'll do.
Well, I'll be terrified during the game, but I will do my best to enjoy it.
Yeah, but just your usual. You'll like a beer per period.
Yes, correct.
To me, the sheer terror doesn't really kick in until third period. In the third period, it's just, it's insane.
It's gut-wrenching.
It's insane.
There's no way watching playoff hockey is good for you. It's actually unhealthy.
Why? Yeah. It can bring joy.
Yeah, but it can also bring tremendous pain and sadness.
Yeah, but your heart,
and
it's got to be just moving.
Oh.
I got off the couch the other day, my heart rate was silly, 58. It's not that way when you're watching the Caps.
I was probably like 98.
125 or something. Right. It's something insane.
Yeah, it spikes.
Yeah.
That's good for your heart, though. You need those shifts.
Yeah, I like why you're
running. They're supposed to be more gradual. I don't think they're supposed to be so spiky.
Fluctuations.
Yeah.
I get enough of that with a caffeine jolt I'm getting every morning.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We got another win yesterday. They're 5 games above 500. It's not great, but they're only 3 games back, and they've had all these injuries, and now you got this 19-year-old phenom, Juan Soto, playing very well, had 3 walks yesterday and a single, scored the game-winning run, hit a home run the previous game. So exciting there for the Washington Nationals. We'll talk to Rizzo about that.
I'll be honest, when I was 19, my top priority in life, I think, was getting Valdez is making a motion with his hands. That was one of them. Probably getting a fake ID. Making sure I had a fake ID for college was probably my top priority. And Juan Soto's up here playing for the Washington Nationals and doing really big things already in 2 games. So, you know, kind of a juxtaposition, if you will.
Interesting story out of New York. And it has to do with parenting.
Okay.
We all have a bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
The 3 of us each have 3 kids. And I can't imagine doing this to a kid, but when is a kid not a kid anymore? They'll always be our kids.
Sure.
But when they turn 30, you know, it's hard to call them a kid. And this story has to do with 2 parents in New York who had it with their 30-year-old, what has been described as a deadbeat son.
Okay.
Refuses to get a job.
Yep.
Refuses to pay rent. Refuses to do anything, but remained in the home.
Now, would he be considered a millennial?
Is this, yes.
So we definitely can lump him in with the millennials.
Yes.
And the parents just don't have the balls to kick him out?
Well, they didn't have the balls to kick him out. And then they tried to evict him, and he wouldn't go down, and it became a court case.
Mm.
And a decision was rendered by a New York judge who ordered the 30-year-old man to move out of his parents' home.
As he should. If the parents don't want him there any longer, and they're asking him to move out, he should move out. He should have some sort of common decency and look at himself and say, you know what? I'm a bit of a loser. I'm 30. I haven't established anything on my own. I need to stand on my own 2 feet. Get out of the house already. Make something of your life.
Mm.
Stop sponging off your parents at 30.
You know, on the one hand, it's embarrassing, right? Your kid to live in with the age of 30. But on the other part of it is, you know, we all love our kids.
Of course.
Like having your kids around.
If my kid falls on hard luck, of course I'd welcome them to stay as long as they want. But I don't think my kids are going to be the type where they're 30 and they're jobless and all they're doing is just sponging off pops.
I know.
And all of his Peloton and Arizona Board of Tourism money that's flowing in. At some point, you have to go and do it on your own.
I can tell that's not going to happen with my kids because they come home from school and they can't wait to get out. In fact, they come from school like at 7 p.m.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, last night it was Tony and Liam are studying over at Liam's house. I was like, sure they are.
Right. There's a study group.
Hold on. In
late May,
yeah,
it's almost June.
Sure they are.
Like, I look at my kids doing homework, and maybe I'm not the best role model, and I say, why are the teachers still giving you homework?
Right.
It's like May 22nd. All you should be doing in school right now is like
watching movies.
Watching movies and making summer plans with your friends. You can't concentrate on school when it's 80 degrees outside and you know you're less than a month away from summer vacation.
It's hard to concentrate. And can't I don't blame them. I basically tell my
kids. This 30-year-old loser, I guess, has a son.
He's got a kid,
and so that
too.
Complicates the manner. I guess complicated the custody battle.
Well, that complicates things.
So he wants to live rent-free.
It's Adam.
Parents just had it.
It's Adam.
It's the biggest upset is that loser had sex.
We love we love the goof on Adam, but I'll at least give him credit that he comes to, well, he's not even here today. He comes to work most days when he's not sick.
Yeah.
He's sick a lot.
He's
got a terrible diet.
I guess he's trying. I don't know.
But
this guy's not even trying.
See, Adam's the type of person that should be living with his parents and help save up.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But like a temporary thing, like for a year. A lot of guys, this is what I did.
I did that.
The year before you get married, you shack up with your parents, you save up for a year.
Right, or maybe a summer. If you're, you know, when I was in law school, I'd be home for the summer.
Yeah, you save up.
I didn't
up.
Go out and get an apartment and like come back for 3 months.
No.
I'd stay with my parents and work in D.C. for I worked for a judge one summer.
Yeah, but that was different. You were 20 or 19.
You weren't blowing out your money.
I was 25, 26, 27.
My son's 21. He's home for the summer. It's not. I'm happy to have him. I miss having my kid around every day. So he's home. It's great to have him. It's not like I'm, you need to move out of
your
home.
Yeah, but he's not 30.
He's not
30.
He's 21.
This guy's 30.
He's a loser.
According to the story, the parents say their son had been living
there. He refuses to work.
The parents say he had been living with them for 8 years without paying rent or contributing in any way.
Now look, if you're 30 and your last name is Buffett or Gates or Rockefeller and you've stumbled forward somehow into an obscene amount of money, do what you want. Go to the beach every day. Be a freeloader living off of somebody else's money. But if you're broke and you have a kid, you can't just be a squatter in your parents' basement.
Well, even Warren Buffett's sister or daughter, she wanted to get like $50,000 to redo her kitchen.
Right.
He wouldn't give it to her.
Right. You know what? Because he's instilling a work ethic in his kids and his grandkids, which is a good thing.
So this guy, he 30. So apparently he did have his own apartment for a year and a half. And in that year and a half, he had the kid. And then he moved back home. Then he lost his job. And he basically hasn't done anything for 8 years.
Hmm. So 8 years. He's on an 8-year streak.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear him outside of the courthouse when he was interviewed?
Yeah.
Sure.
It kind of humanizes him. I don't know if I really want to hear him, but I'm sure you're going to play it.
So do you feel like, are you taking this to court for a larger idea of like parental rights and what they're able to do? Or is it just on a personal matter?
No, when you handle any case, it's inclusive of everything. Mm-hmm. So it was inclusive of everything. What I'm doing is inclusive of everything. I really can't comment on too specifically on what more I can listen to. I was trying not to do much of a comment on anything, but, I was so outraged that I decided to hold a big press conference.
Yeah. How old are you?
30.
So
he sounds like 70% of our callers.
Dude, he's
on a bad phone.
I'm reading more and more about this guy. I mean,
he looks like the biggest loser. I just looked in this picture.
A straight up loser. Look, here are details. He went to college, shocker, didn't finish his degree, started off studying engineering at a community college, but he switched to business when he couldn't hack the math.
Hey, math's hard. Math's kind of hard.
It's difficult.
By the way, during his...
And he's suing Best Buy. He worked at Best Buy.
Okay? Why is he suing them?
He's suing Best Buy for $340,000 in damages in a discrimination suit.
What? How was he discriminated against?
Because said he couldn't work Saturdays because that was the day he could visit his kid. And they nixed him.
Do they discriminate
him to work on Saturdays?
Do they discriminate against losers? Is that what he's trying to stand on?
You know what he needs? He needs to get beat up. I'm sorry. I know that we're like an anti-bullying thing, but that's one where like your dad just needs to have it out with
the son. He during the press conference outside the courthouse, while he's talking to the camera, he's putting his hair in his man bun as he's talking to the camera.
He's got the long hair and a beard like Cakes, but it's not really grown in.
Yeah, but it's not. This is a playoff beard.
Get it. No, I know. Please, I'm not comparing you to him. The guy is just the biggest loser.
I mean, is he doing spots for the Arizona Board of Tourism? You know what? We're not either. What am I talking about?
I get it, though. I get where the parents are coming from at some point, right? Because I agree with you, EB. It would be very difficult to ever make this move. And they tried taking steps. They tried taking steps. I guess at some point they stopped providing food for him. So, like, they were giving him, you know, free breakfast, free lunch, free dinner. At some point, they're like,
"Mom's probably making dinner every night."
Right, right. I'm not going to cook for him anymore. They quit doing his laundry.
He was living the life.
And they cut off his cell phone.
He just looks dirty. He doesn't even groom himself well. I mean, the guy's just the biggest loser.
He was in a welfare state of his parents.
Well,
I'd be so salty.
Well, how do you get them out of it?
Like, we send our kids to college. Let's say, you know, my daughter's going to college next year. Your son's already in college.
Yeah.
And maybe they do a gap year or something. Then what happens if nothing happens after, like, the gap year? And they're just doing nothing. And then they say they're applying for jobs. You don't know. You don't go on the interviews.
Yeah. I mean,
all of a sudden, time just keeps going. All of a sudden, you got a 24-year-old. I'm not going to go to 30, but let's say you have a 24-year-old. Your son just turned 21.
Yep.
Right? Got another year of college.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say at 24, he still doesn't have a full-time position.
He's just aimless and living in his bedroom upstairs and has no prospects.
I'd be
concerned.
I would like to think that as long as my kids were working and they're productive members of society, if they wanted to stay at my place,
yeah,
fine.
But the hypo I'm saying is, what if they're not working?
Well, it's just ridiculous. I mean, there are rules.
Goes through college.
The thing is, you got to work.
Finishes college.
You get a job, and you, for whatever reason, you're a loser, and you don't. You can live with me. Of course, I'm going to provide for you. I'm your father.
Of course.
But you got to have a job. You got to have a job.
But where do you draw the line? Say they finish college,
yeah,
and they allegedly are applying. Again, we can't go on their interview.
Even if it's adult job.
6 months.
Like, I don't know. Selling
toys.
Get
a temporary job. You wait tables in between your real job. You can always drive Uber.
So what if they refuse?
Well, then you have a
What
real
if they
issue.
Say, Dad, well, then you I a- went to college not to become a waiter. I'm not going to waste my time. Then I can't apply no, for real
that's
jobs.
When you,
I can't apply for no, real here, computer jobs
here's
or
how
whatever.
You here's how you respond. You have to have some sort of job. Can't
so
just be jobless. Then you're at an impasse.
Then you have to give them the boot.
Then, you know what? You might have to call the cops.
How do you do that?
I don't know what you do at that point.
That's the point. The parents were in this pickle where, what if your kid goes to college, they graduate, and they simply are applying for whatever position they're in, computer software, whatever the heck they are, and you really have no idea of what's going on there. I mean, unless I guess you go on Indeed.com with them.
I
don't know. Somehow
go on an interview with them.
It's just got to be a reflection on the parents on some level. You know, I'm not a great parent, but I screw up a million things, but all my kids, they want to work because they want money. All they talk about, this is where I probably screwed up. My kids can't talk about money enough. They just want money. They want money in their pockets.
Right.
They all want to work. Dad, I need a job. I need a job. I need a job. My daughter, she can't wait to start her lifeguarding job. She babysits this one family. They pay her so much.
Yep.
She loves it. Loves it. They love my kids. That's where we've probably gone wrong. They love money.
They're capitalists.
They love money.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they probably overvalue it, but they love money.
Money makes the world go round. Somebody said that a long time ago, EB.
Yeah.
All right, if you want to chime in, you can.
I don't know.
Deep Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines, 800-636-1067. Talking about this case which went national, where he's been described as a deadbeat millennial.
That's
30.
Sounds like a perfect description.
And he was
sounds
thrown,
like
all you
had
to do.
They had to go to court, and he was finally thrown out of the home by a judge.
It's not cool today because you're supposed to be politically correct. All you got to do is look at him. He's a loser. You could just look at guys. I can look at people, and okay. I know. Loser, loser, loser,
you're
loser.
Such a loser.
It's easy for me.
He was evicted.
It's easy.
He was evicted from his parents' home. You have to evict your child. Something's gone
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, it doesn't get much lower than that.
We're talking about who we think needs to step up. Cakes is an OV guy. I'm a Holtby guy. I don't know that EB singled out anybody.
I said you convinced me, Holtby. You're not going to win if Holtby has a bad game. Put it that way.
Definitely.
If Holtby has a bad game, we're not going to win.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones.
Hard to argue that, but it kind
of
goes without saying. All right, let's go to, let me see here. Chin. My guy Chin in Potomac. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I think you really have to go back to the Penguin series last year. When it was an elimination game in Game 6, they came up flying, and they beat Pittsburgh really easily, just like they did Game 6 of this series. And then Game 7, they were so afraid to lose, so tentative, they came out so flat, and it was just over. So if they come out like that again, it's going to be over. They really have to play to win and not afraid to lose.
I agree. It has to be like a duplicate effort of game.
I mean,
six.
I would be utterly shocked if the Caps came out flat and it was Dudville like it was in Game 7 last year at home against the Pens. If we see that effort tonight, I'll be beside myself.
We probably said the same thing last year. I'll be shocked if it's a dud because they had won games 5 and 6 to even up the series.
You don't even ponder a dud. You don't even ponder a dud.
You don't even think it's possible at that point.
Right.
But then we saw it.
I know. Then we lived it. Not only saw it, we lived through it.
Yeah.
That's my point. So we didn't ponder it last year, and we're not really pondering it this year.
Oh, I'm pondering it.
So you're thinking a dud's a possibility.
Oh, very much so. I keep telling you.
I think it's a possibility, but I think it's less likely. Maybe I'm stupid. I think it's remote.
Here's my biggest fear is that they, in my opinion, played so well in game 6, flying around, killing everybody in their zone, gulpy, that we can't duplicate that. It was too good. To me, it was like the best game I've seen him play all year.
I don't know. They won 3-0. They won a game 6-2 in this series.
Yeah, but
weren't
they
up 6-0 in that game?
Yeah, but two heavyweights going at it playing.
I feel like they were up 6-0 and Tampa got some scored.
Yeah,
the last
you can win
two.
Blowout games sometimes.
Rolls.
You're just so
to me,
much
that
better.
That was a better game for the Caps.
No, but I'm talking about two heavyweights, both on their A games, and we got the better.
Yeah, but the
of
stakes
it.
Were higher in the more recent game. Well, in the last game. Because they're facing elimination.
Why are you saying Tampa was on their A game? Their coach would disagree with you. Well, their coach said that they came out flat.
Because I thought it was pretty even for two periods. So I thought they were both going at it. Let's go to Chris in Haymarket. I'll know it's trouble if in the first 5 minutes we're constantly in our defensive zone, we're struggling to clear it, we're not getting any chances.
They're buzzing around Holtby.
Yeah, then I'll be just distraught. Now, by the same token, if we're all in there in our their zone, and even if we're not scoring, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, putting pressure on Vasilevsky,
right,
making him work.
I don't like all those. Like I like to take shots and hit and get the rebounds and all that. I don't get that tutu size for these bombs, though. These like bombs from
I like the
60 feet away. Right.
Greasy, dirty opportunities.
I think those are a waste. I think when Carlson or Ovi or one of those guys or
I don't
Orlov
think they're a
shoots
waste.
One from 60 feet away, those are a waste.
I don't think they're a waste because
too
you,
easy.
You can get a deflection. You could clip one of their top defenders on his hand and knock him out of the game. I don't think they're a waste. I mean, I love the point-blank opportunities, but I think there's a place for when Orlov and Kempney and Carlson, when those guys
there
just unload from 50 feet.
They must be because they keep doing it. But when I see it, I go, well, that's just a sitting duck.
I like pouring
shots
on the net. Just keep them
Yeah,
coming.
But do it from closer. I like high danger chances, Case.
Well, I like those too.
So I was mistaken. It was 4-0 in game 1, and then the Lightning scored 2 in the third period to make it 4-2.
Right.
And then they won game 2, 6-2.
Those first two games were dreamy. No doubt
yes.
about it. But they, I don't
it.
Think they
can
played
Can we get back
well.
To that?
And that's why when they won 6-2 in game 2, I said it was over.
How can we somehow...
Yeah, they were due to play better.
Can we fuse together games 1, 2, and 6? If there's a way that Barry Trotz and the coaching staff can do that and craft some sort of masterpiece for game 7, that's what I want.
Cakes.
I want a blowout where we beat them in hits 2-1, and I'm not even sweating any time during the game.
Porky Pigot with me tomorrow. You and me
You're
for
so
1 hour.
Desperate for us to come in here with no pants on. I don't understand it.
Because it's funny.
Look, if you would like
it's
to Porky Pig it,
no, come on.
Porky Pig away. I'm keeping my pants
off the ground. We're both going to have nubs. But no one's going to see. It's just going to be a joke
there's
between
no
me and you.
There's no payoff for the camera, though.
It's kind of funny.
The
just know.
Just go to
That's all, folks.
That's the payoff for the camera.
No, I don't want to do that. No one wants to see that.
Look, I know. It'd be embarrassing.
If it happens, I will celebrate in my own way. You can celebrate by coming in and having no pants on.
I just want to be on air and do like an hour with butt naked. That to me is a funny
concept. How about
you
do it no matter what? Win or lose.
No, still
be fun.
Not even butt naked. Just no pants.
Yes.
Who else can go to work and... with no pants other than like porn stars. We can do that.
Harvey Weinstein back in the day.
Okay, I guess in Hollywood you can.
All right, lines are locked and loaded. Who do you think is the key for the Caps to advance to the Stanley Cup final?
Let's go to Chris in Haymarket. Chris, what's up?
What's up, Junks?
Hey, buddy.
You lost me on the Porky Pig thing, man. I was with you all day for the first time, I think, ever until just
I don't
now
know why. It's funny to me.
Don't you think it's mysterious knowing that EB's sitting there pantless, and he could stand up and flash anyone.
Of course Valdez loves the bit. It's because he knows funny. That's funny.
We do.
Butt naked is funny.
Naked's funny.
Yeah. Go ahead. What else, Chris?
Yeah, sorry, Chris.
I'll go with the obvious. Holtby's got to stand on his head for the Caps to make it out of this one. They're going to throw everything at him. As far as lesser players, I'm going to go with Connolly and Stevenson. Those two dudes have had plenty of chances to pot goals, and it just hasn't happened for them. And then a third little nugget, if DSP can play like he did in Game 6, I think the Caps stand a very good chance of moving on past these knuckleheads.
Thank you for the call. Wow, what if Brett Connolly got the game winner against the team that drafted him and then discarded him? He said, you're out of here. You're not fulfilling your promise. I'd love that.
That's storybook stuff. Does that really play out?
I don't know.
Let's go to Evan.
If it did, I'd be happy.
Evan, Bethesda. Evan, what's up?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Hey, listen, we're talking about little guys that need to step up tonight. No-brainer for me. I think the biggest silly needs to be Lars Eller. If he stays out of the box, if we can prevent the stupid penalties, I think we win the game 3-1. You know, he gave up four goals by being in the box, you know, setting us down a guy. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can avoid that, I think we win the game, no-brainer. Also, I'll go Porky Pig with you tomorrow. I may lose my job, but, you know, whatever. Let's go Caps.
What do you do?
I work in a gym, so I would totally lose my job.
Yeah, you would lose your job.
You work in a gym.
100%.
What do you do in the gym?
I answer the phones. Dude, I'm not important. But there are people that could see me. There are people that could see me answering the phone.
I get it.
The people on the phones wouldn't know, but the people,
you're willing to lose your job because it's a nub's job.
Can we get
Let's go Caps.
Right. Can we listen? I'm not asking anybody to Porky Pig at work. We're the only people that can do that. But can people Porky Pig from home?
You know,
like, if
we
win,
job.
Let's have a Porky Pig party. And everyone just call in.
Love that. Three P's.
Do you want people to tweet out pictures
like
and they blur?
Yes.
Tweet out pictures where you're sitting there and we don't want to see your dongs.
Is it easy to blur out your photos?
Well, you can just see like butt nudity. You
can put your hands
over
something.
Yeah, you do like side butts. So you see you're
the
wearing your shirt.
You do like the red hot chili peppers.
You put a song on your a sock on your dong.
There's two things. If you're able to Porky Pig at work, we want to see pics of it. But we don't encourage it. But also,
and you have red hot chili
peppers.
We're
not encouraging it. Yeah, you want to see pics of it?
Well, no. Well, if you're
onto something,
if you're able to do it, okay. If you're a boss, mm-hmm. right, and you're able to do it, we want to see pics of you in your dress shirt and socks.
Right.
Well, you can do it if you have an office where you close your door.
Right.
Right.
It's not like
close the blinds.
You're celebrating the win. You're celebrating the win.
And you have to send at least one company email while you're pantless.
And it can't be, if you're going to do it, it can't be from the bathroom.
And also,
no, it has to be from your desk.
And also, Cakes is accepting videos of your victory buns tonight.
I'm accepting the videos.
Victory buns in your jersey.
And he's
everyone's got to be in their jerseys.
Full videos, too, not like the minute 30 teasers.
Right. He's accepting that Matt_Valdez.
Yes. Right. I changed my Twitter profile.
Hey, Jamie,
all of a
sudden. I think we're on to something here. If they win, Caps fans send us photos of them Porky Pigging from their offices.
By the way, this is Caps fans get bitter when we start talking about if they win. They get bitter when we talk about travel plans. We talk 99%.
Why? There's no such thing as a jinx.
I agree.
There's no such thing as a jinx.
No, but Dew Theory's in full effect tonight.
Dew Theory is so, I mean, it's a 20-year Dew Theory.
Are you guys doing the emotional hedge tonight?
No, because I feel like. I do feel like that was jinxing it. Like I was just winning money.
No jinxes.
I know. I'm full of it.
10 seconds later.
All right, let's go.
Cakes, are you insane?
Alan, are you in
it's
on
that?
It's
not even a real word.
Alan, if you're in.
Oh, my God.
If the Caps win, are you in on the Porky Pig bit?
I'm in my closet right now picking out the tie that goes best with my dong.
Nice.
It's a silly thing.
So that's funny. Works for me. All right, what else, buddy?
Well, I picked Barry Trotz. I know he's not a player, but I think he's really, really important. Game 6, he had the chance to be able to dictate to Tampa who's going to be playing, what the lines are going to be looking like. In this away game, he's not going to have a chance to do that. He's going to have to mix and match and respond to what Cooper's doing. But at the same time, whatever lines he throws out there still has to maintain the discipline to control their rushes into the zone. And one of the other things that I say, as far as the player goes, I think Beagle's going to be incredibly important just by the way that it controls all the faceoffs. So I think that also dictates time of possession. So those are the two guys, and I'm not particularly nervous, which makes me nervous about this game.
Sorry, phone. How about this, Valdez? Now I can think
I'm listening.
Because you're the only one that's with me. Like, you and I get radio. Cakes doesn't get it. He just wants to be...
Right. I'm sure I don't get it.
He wants to play sound effects.
I'm weird because I don't want to take my pants off at work.
How about we do a dancing bear bit? You're the closest thing to a bear. You're a big guy. You come in here and do a dancing bear routine for AWOD.
All right, can we get a bear mask and a OV jersey?
You wear a towel, and then you do like the dancing bear. You know what I mean? You put the towel.
Yeah, I know the towel.
You know the bit. Yeah. You've seen the bit. Drabby, how about that?
You guys are weird.
Like, yeah. Thank you.
What does
I'm
that have to do
draft.
With the Caps winning? You
it
guys just want to dance naked on each other.
It's just a stupid
it's just
celebration.
You know what it is?
It's
funny. Here's what it is. Homoeroticism running wild. And then just an excuse to be homoeroticism
isn't funny.
Of course, I'm all about it. But just be honest with what's really going on with you. You just want to do that dance.
Yes.
Okay, it's nothing to do with
I'm
the
not,
Caps.
I'm not hiding it. Oh. No, but right. you got to have a reason to do it.
Well, Juan Soto, we got promoted.
Don't do that.
Fancy Bear.
All right, let's go to Barry in Centerville. Barry, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I think the Stars are going to play like Stars. If there's one guy that's really got to elevate his game, I say it's got to be Brooks Orpik. See, if I'm John Cooper, I'm the coach, I'm going to get last change on home ice. So every time I see Orpik on the ice, I'm putting Stamkos and Kucherov out there, and if you get game six Brooks Orpik, hopefully he'll be making all his hits, moving the puck a little bit faster. If you get game 3, 4, 5 Brooks Orpik, they're going to eat him up, and that's going to leave Holtby out to dry. That's the guy I think that's got to elevate his game tonight.
Hmm. All right, good point. He played very, very well in game 6. I mean, he was crushing guys, but that's what he does.
Yeah, it's his specialty, especially at this point in his career. He doesn't have the wheels he used to have when he was younger.
Somebody's saying, let's reverse all of this. Let's go all in. The double down. Just bet it all on the Caps. Who's got the balls to do that?
Hashtag all caps.
People are all over the map for game 7. People can't think clearly.
Let's go to Craig in Baltimore. Craig, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I would have loved to put like $1,000 on Vegas to win. I'm just as a gag bet. Who would have ever thought that? 500-1. Crazy. Look, as a Baltimore local sports guy, Caps lose tonight. I don't see anything good for us coming down the pike. Usually we transition over to Nationals or Orioles baseball. Don't know what to say about that. Turf football. Ravens or, you know, Ravens.
The Nationals are fine, by the way. There's over 100 games left, and they're 3 games out of first place with half the team on the DL.
We're spoiled. You know, we're wire to wire every year, so it's, you know, and that letdown is even harder. So I'm just hoping that we can be reunited with that beautiful feeling of winning. Because that John Walton game 6 call, you got to tell him, if that could be my ringtone, it would be for life. Because that was the most amazing call.
Why couldn't it be your ringtone? Yeah. Just make it your ringtone. What's the problem?
By the way, he'll be on the show at 9:20 this morning. The voice of the Caps on 106.7 The Fan.
Looking forward to that.
Let's go to David Rockville. David, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Junk. My dog correctly predicted the final score of Game 6, so I went with her again for Game 7, and she's got Caps 4-1.
Right. How does your dog predict?
Yeah, what's your elaborate system?
Like, is it number of barks? Do you put bones down?
No, it is number of face licks. So I call her over, ask her for the Caps goals first, and when she's done, backs away, ask her for the Tampa Bay licks, and that's what she gives
me. Are you sure
she nailed it
looking
last
your
time.
Face?
How many times?
Yeah.
How many times have you tested this? Was
that
this just game 6?
That was peanut butter routine.
Yeah. Now, look who's
no, calling her over. No peanut butter, nothing like that. Just calling her over for face kisses.
Yeah.
Okay. And she nailed it.
How many times though?
Just what the hell? She's 1-for-1, so I got a rider.
1-for-1. Right, okay.
Right. All right. Well, so what was the score? 4-1?
4-1
Caps. 4-1 right.
Caps. We'll take it.
I got to think there's, I mean, Ovi's been carrying, he's just wanting it so bad. And I got to think tonight's the night where he opens up some goal scoring. So
I really hate the whole wanting it cliche. I said this earlier. They all want it.
Yeah, you don't think Ovi wanted it last year and the year before that and the year before that? They all want it.
They do, but sometimes I think they dig deeper.
Yeah, but he's the one that was supposed to. He's the one that's supposed to have delivered it.
Hold on,
already.
You haven't played matches or
games. There's more pressure
on
him.
Where your effort was
than
other
games.
Game
seven. They're all going to be giving maximum effort.
Sometimes you just have duds. You're human. Sometimes
of
you just go out there and you have duds
in terms of your performance.
And you want it, but
they're all going to bring maximum effort.
Not necessarily.
That doesn't necessarily result in what you
sometimes
want to
you
happen.
Sometimes you lose focus and you dig and it's not there.
Automatic focus.
It's a game seven to go to the Stanley Cup final. They all want it.
they do, but it doesn't necessarily translate. They're human. They go for it and it's not there.
If they win this time, it's not because they wanted it more than last year. Come on.
Might be.
I definitely want it, and I'm going to be doing my part.
Be the difference.
Drinking three super hoppy beers during the game.
Hey, am I bringing in tube socks tomorrow?
We got to at least red hot chili pepper it.
Or at least I'll bring in ankle socks for me.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really what it is. Cakes doesn't want anybody to see his number. But Cakes, we're all having numbers.
I think it might be equally as funny because you could actually probably get away with doing it on camera, though, if they actually brought in Speedos for you.
Oh, not size.
Speedo?
So you're basically Porky Piggin, but you have like a Speedo or like a thong.
You
got
to commit
there.
To the bit. Yeah, if we're doing it, I mean, we're whole hogging it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then you can't see any of it.
Yeah, but it's just for you.
Well, I don't care. I'm not going to care to look. I'm not going to be like peeking.
I'll be jumping up and down during the commercial break.
Gross.
Better hope they don't have it showing like the NBC studios. You know what I mean? Sometimes they do.
The raw feed.
It's in the background.
Join us right now like he does every Wednesday. The president of baseball ops, general manager of the Washington Nationals. It's Mike Rizzo. We go in the clubhouse. Mike Rizzo presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. And Mike, one thing that's different is it looks like Eric Fetty may go today.
We haven't announced it yet, but he's en route to last night to pitch, and if it all goes according to plan travel-wise, he's going to pitch today at 4 o'clock against the Padres, yes.
All right, so tell our listeners who aren't as familiar with Eric Fetty. He's been a prospect in the system for a while. Tell us what to expect from him and who he is.
Yeah, prospect we drafted. He had Tommy John surgery, worked his way back. He's been up and down. We've been controlling his innings over the last couple of years as we do with our Tommy John protocol, and he's a hard throwing right hander. He's got a great attitude. He's an attack mode type of personality, and his velocity is back to pre Tommy John surgery levels. He's pitches anywhere from 94 to 96. He'll touch 97. He's got a slider, a curve, and a changeup. Really refining his delivery and command, and he's pitching extremely well in AAA. With the rotation that we have in the big leagues, he's down there waiting in the wings, and he's the next man up if we need to go grab for a starting pitcher. And we made sure he was on rotation today because of that doubleheader. We needed an additional starter, so he'll get the nod today, and hopefully he throws a strong inning, gives us a chance to win.
You mentioned next man up, and I've been telling the boys. No one's going to cry for you. It's professional sports. Teams get hurt. You know, you've been injured before. But you guys always do a great job of managing the bottom end of the roster, constantly dipping in that AAA and just, kind of a little rotation there. But I can't remember, you tell me, this is your life, where this early in the season you've had this many guys on the active roster.
I think we're second in all of baseball in roster moves and players on the roster, and
right.
The injuries have been there's not a lot of cramped calves and stuff like that. We're getting breaks and tears and surgeries and season ending stuff. It's been really dramatic, and it's I can't remember a season where you've got half of your opening day lineup is on the disabled list for extended periods of time, and you've got three or four relief pitchers that are on the DL, and our minor league system, our scouts and our player development guys, they just keep finding guys that we throw in the big league mix, and you get them in that culture that we've created here, and it's like you get some guys that have struggled in the past or have had problems in other places in the past. They fit in that clubhouse perfectly. We put them in the melting pot, and Davey makes it work. And it's really remarkable when you think of all the injuries we've had to key players and key starters, and we're performing at the level we are. It's a testament to our player development guys who get these guys ready for the big leagues, and to that coaching staff, and to Davey Martinez has been masterful.
Absolutely. I mean, Reynolds, Hellickson, you could go on and on with all the guys, and now Juan Soto's the one everyone's talking about, and of course the only reason why he's probably here is because Victor Robles has been hurt. But talk about Soto and your thought process. I know you've told sort of the guys that cover the team, but tell our audience what the thought process there was. Is this something where you were thinking initially, and maybe it's changed, I don't know, well, he's just going to spell us, we'll see what he can do, and then you'll probably send him back down, continue the development? Or could this potentially be something where he's here to stay?
Well, performance dictates, if he's here to stay or not. This kid is 19 years old. It's been a meteoric rise through our minor league system. Johnny DePuglia is our vice president of international baseball, and I scouted and signed him when he was 16 and a half years old. He was injured most of last year, didn't get a lot of at-bats. We started him at low A Hagerstown, and we figured he would run through that league pretty good. And then we sent him to Potomac, and he earned a promotion there to double A, which is really a testing spot for a 19-year-old player. And kind of really separates the prospects from the suspects, if you will.
Right.
And he, for the 30 at bats or so that he had down there, looked very, very comfortable. Didn't look overmatched. Was actually overmatched in the league. And then when Howie went down in that Dodger series, we felt that we wanted to get something that was an offensive force for us, something that could jumpstart us. You throw that youth and exuberance and into a lineup, and I think it's the other players feed off him. So, when Howie was injured, I called our farm director, Doug Harris, and Mark Shalaba, and said, get Soto moving this way. He's gonna join the club and stay with the club, and we are gonna play him. That's why the deal that Davey Martinez and I had was we called a special kid up. He's not going to be off the bench. He's not going to spell. He's going to play just about every day because he's earned that right, and he's for his development. Even though he's developing in the big leagues, he needs to play every day. So we felt that his offensive game was major league ready. He's got a terrific approach at the plate, very balanced attack. He's got great bat speed. He's got a natural loft to his left-handed swing. But the thing that really separates him from a lot of players is his knowledge of the strike zone. He very rarely swings at pitches off the plate and out of the zone. And we thought that was really the most important thing to bring him up, where he wouldn't be overmatched at the big league level.
Yeah, obviously hit a home run against a lefty, which was impressive. But the three walks yesterday, I saw a stat where in the last 40 years, the complete list of teenagers who've walked three times in a game, it's Juan Soto and Bryce Harper. That's it.
Yeah, it's a good group. It's two hitters that really know the strike zone and rarely go outside of it when they attack pitches. And I think that's why you've seen Juan for his very short minor league career. He hit at high averages at each level, and as you guys know, the umpiring at the lower levels is not nearly as good as it is in the upper level. So when he was striking out at the minor league level, it was usually the umpires calling him out on pitches that in the big leagues would be balls, but in the minor leagues were strikes. So we felt comfortable bringing him up. He's a kid mature beyond his years. He's got a great routine to prepare himself for a game. His studying and game prep and film prep is again beyond his years, and he's a special talent. Offensively, like I said, he's very polished and very mature. He'll be learning the rest of the game on the fly and at the big league level at 19 years old, which is no picnic. But the nuances of defense and base running and that type of thing. But we've got guys taking him under his wing. Bryce Harper has taken responsibility to handle a a fellow 19-year-old in the big leagues and show him the ropes, if you will. And his teammates really have embraced him, and the energy level that he brings is you could tell it's been great.
Mike, how's a guy like Mark Reynolds just floating around waiting for you to sign in April? He's got 3 multi-hit games and 7 appearances, 2 home run games already. I mean, he has to be way outperforming what you would think he would do when you signed him.
Well, no question. You know, I drafted him in 2004 when I was at the Diamondbacks in the 15th round. He's a local boy at the University of Virginia. He's always had prodigious power. He could really loft balls and swing really, really hard, and he could hit the ball a mile, but struck out a whole lot. So through his career, he's closing in on 300 home runs, which is an unbelievable career, but struck out a whole lot. So this was a guy that hit 30 home runs last year, drove in 97 runs for the Colorado Rockies, and couldn't get a full-time major league job. So, you know, our relationship helped. We trusted each other. You know, when we called for to bring him in on a minor league contract, go to the minor leagues for a short period of time, he trusted that we would do right by him and follow our word and live up to our word the agreement we had, and we did. So we signed him. Coincidentally, Zim went down soon thereafter, and we kind of just plugged him in as our right-handed first baseman, and you know, he came out of the gates really, really hot, and won us that game in Arizona, and has played extremely well offensively and defensively for us here in the very short term. But we think that he's going to be a contributor to us. He's a veteran presence, been through the wars before, and I think really has an appreciation of being on a winning team and in a winning culture like we have here.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. Can we get injury updates on Brian Goodwin, Daniel Murphy, and Coda Glover? Hmm. That from Chris L. in Arlington.
Yeah, I don't think we have time in this segment to go through all the medical stuff that we have. So I'll give you those three in particular. Brian is starting to swing the bat. He's taking batting practice. Of course, he had the wrist tendon soreness, and he'll be hopefully going out to play rehab games soon. And then you have 20 days to make a decision on bringing him to the big leagues. So he's well on his way. Murphy is well on his way also. Unfortunately, he was running very, very well. Unfortunately, when he went back down to West Palm, he caught a really tough virus and kind of had the flu for 4 days. But he's back on the field, and again, he's swinging the bat well. He's doing all baseball activities, including running, which was the last thing to come. He's honing his skills and getting more strength in that knee, and he'll be going out on a rehab assignment in the very near future. And Coda Glover is continuing his mound progression. He's now throwing long toss and will climb on the mound very, very soon. So once he gets on the mound and pitching for a relief pitcher, it's a very short rehab process after that.
If you had to guess, we only have 30 seconds or less, will Murphy be up with the big boys, all things go well, in less than a month?
I would say yes. I would be optimistically say carefully optimistic would say yes without any backtracking on his physical being that he should be here within the month. Yes.
Yep. All right.
Good news.
All right.
It's Mike
Rizzo. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Yep. All right, pal.
Talk to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.